What's going on, Las Vegas? Welcome everyone to Levels. I'm Jeremy Long, joined as always by my co-host, partner in crimes, CeCe, the sportsnista. CeCe, how are you?
You know, good. I was about to like do some popping and locking. I don't know why.
Yeah, man, it's that music. It's popping.
Yeah, it was in you my know. Spirit.
we're in our spirit. We're in our feelings and everything, man. We have an incredible show for you. We are joined by the one and only Vinny Paz, five-time world champion, Hall of Fame boxer. And, oh, man, I cannot wait to talk to this guy. So, you know what, CeCe? I know normally we banter, we back and forth, but no, let's introduce the man, the myth, the legend himself, Vinny Paz. Vinny, how are you today, brother?
Hey, it's really good to be on here.
We got all that shiny stuff.
Right off the bat, we got to give a big shout-out to Zena, because I wouldn't be on here right now. I really appreciate you guys hanging in there with me.
Yeah, Vinny has a real life warrior princess in his life. So thank you so much, Zena, for all that you do for Vinny and also with WBC Cares and a whole bunch of other stuff. She's a special lady.
Absolutely. My God. Yes.
Well, Vinny, I mean, I see what you're showing off there. What's the collection behind you?
It's just I collected a couple of these things over the years. Actually, it took me 20 years to get those five things.
Oh, man. Which one's on top, though? Which one's the top one up there?
Actually, the top one, it's supposed to be the first one I ever won, but it's not, because it's like my most favorite belt, because I knocked some dude out and I really hated him. And I end up making that the first belt. The second one, oh my God. In the second one, you know, it goes neck and neck. I don't know which guy I hated more, Dana Rosenblatt or Dan Sherry. The second one was my third world title after I came back and broke my neck. No, I went through the halo and all the accident happened. I came back and I fought my first fight after I broke my neck against Luis Santana, who was a former world champion. I beat him pretty good on USA Tuesday night fight. And then I fought in a couple fights later. I fought for this for that IBC title. You know, now it's it, and I only fought for it because they were going to change boxing and go back to 15 rounds. Mm-hmm. So I was going to fight, and I thought I was going to fight for, you know, 15 rounds, but I knew I wanted to knock this kid out bad. He thought he was going to tear me apart, kid Dan Sherry from Canada. And I put a whooping on him, stopped him, knocked him out in the 11th round. I broke two of his ribs. It's a vicious sport.
So you went 50 and 10 in your career, but somewhere along the line, you had the horrific accident and broke your neck. You were in the halo, and they said you would never walk again. What were you thinking as you were laying there in that hospital bed?
That was the worst moment of my life. It was literally the worst moment of my life. I just kept, you know, I just tried to say to stay headstrong and you know, just I didn't want to do nothing but fight.
We're coming up on 30 years since, so it was 91 when the accident happened. What was the biggest lesson that you learned during that time?
Do what you want to do and do it hard. And if you want to do it, you can do it. There's not too many things that can't be done out there. I'm not like saying like I could beat, you know, LeBron James in a one-on-one contest. That's not going to happen. But you know, what you can do, what's inside you and what you're looking to do, you know, that you know you can do it, go after it as hard as you can and you will make it happen.
you know, Vinny, you know, of course, the 2016 movie Bleed for This is about your recovery and your accident and then climb back into the ring and winning world championships. Whenever they first approached you about this and started developing this movie, was any part of that painful for you to kind of relive mentally? Like you said, it was one of the darkest moments of your life. Was that at any point where you just kind of like, oh man, you know, I don't really like doing any of this with the movie or anything.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm not sure exactly how I felt about the whole thing, but I just did it because I wanted to see people see what I went through and know and help them by, you know, them, you know, getting hurt, being down and out. You know, you don't have to break your neck. You could twist an ankle. You could, you know, your pinky bothers you. You got cut with a knife. You know, you might have cancer. You might have, you know, some type of disease, some problems. And it's all about, you know, coming back and making it happen, making it work. You know, trying to make it work, come back and get back on top again. I got lucky. I got lucky with a lot of hard work, and I stayed strong. And I ended up winning about 3 more world titles.
Yeah, Miles Teller played you in the movie. Did you have any say in that?
A little bit. Miles did such a great job. He is so good. Miles is so good. You know, I talk to him every once in a while. He's going to be big, which is good for my movie because people are going to go back and see what he did. He's coming up with a new movie, which they think this is going to be the highest grossing movie of all time. It's Tom Cruise. I don't know if you guys remember the Top Gun that he was in before.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this one coming up, we're doing a sequel, and it's going to be Miles Teller. It's going to play Tom Cruise's kid.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Pretty cool. And Miles is like, he's on Tom Cruise level.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he's a great actor. Yeah.
Miles is so good, my God, so good. He played me like, I couldn't have played me better than he played me.
We're getting some love in the chat. Ralph Velez, who is also the ring announcer for Mayweather Promotions, is saying hello to you. And where there's a will, there is a way. Big props to you. For certain. Yeah, I think actually he was there at the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame when you were inducted. What are your thoughts on the current Boxing Hall of Fame and your name being omitted from that list again?
I think they plain and simple. That's all.
How political do you think it is?
There's something going on. That's all that is. Something going on. And usually, like everything, not 75%, not 90%. Usually everything is about money. And I'm sure there's a reason why. It's crazy. See my movie? They didn't do what they were supposed to do with my movie. They were supposed to put it in like about 4,000 theaters. They put it in less than 100. That's why I didn't do anything. But if my movie went over the top, and you know, I would have been a superstar all over the world. I'd be in that Hall of Fame right now because it's all about money, and how big you are is how many more people you draw to the National Boxing Hall of Fame. You know what? Me and Zena, my right arm. Zena's my right arm. Listen to her. She's the only one I listen to in but right now, the Boxing Hall of Fame, they can kiss my ass. They can kiss my white ass. They got guys in there who've been half of what I've done.
Well, you know, Vinny, you're from Cranston, Rhode Island, the smallest state in the nation, but certainly there's a lot of heart coming out of Cranston. I've spent some time in Rhode Island. I lived in Warwick, actually, for a little bit. So, what's that? I got out. There's great food, though.
There's great food here. Yes, there is. Yeah.
Great food in Rhode Island.
A lot of good people. You know, it's just like anywhere else. But good things, bad things, very small state.
Well, Vinny does it in his words. You know, certainly there have been some ups and downs in your career and in your life. Anything you would take back?
Yeah, a couple of things, but not too many. I did what I did. Everything works for a reason. And you know, if one thing didn't happen, maybe another one wouldn't have happened. That I just go along and ride it out, and you know, think that a better day is always ahead. And that's what I did when I broke my neck. The same thing. I just said, you know, my day's gonna come. I just gotta work through this and get by and get through it and you know, keep the faith. And I did. And you know, look what happened.
Excuse me. So there, I'm chewing on sunflower seeds. It's killing me right now. There's kind of this exhibition match coming up with a guy that you fought many years ago, at Roy Jones Jr. against Mike Tyson. Remember, what do you think of this exhibition match? What do you think about these older guys climbing into the ring?
So crazy. Oh my God. But it's bringing so much publicity, and they're gonna make some money. Like what I just say, everything is about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is just the same, you know, I mean, they're only fighting because, you know, they want money. I mean, there's no two ways about it, but they're two badasses. But they're at a point in their life, you know, you never know what's going to happen now. If, like, the way I look at it, this Tyson, you know, at the end of his career, he didn't end up all that pretty at the end. At the end of Roy Jones' career, he didn't end up all that pretty. You know, Jones started getting knocked out, which is really bad. You know, that's going to lead him to Alzheimer's and dementia one day. But, I look at it. I really believe that. See, Mike Tyson kind of got beat by a real good friend of mine in Massachusetts, Boston, the big Irishman. He beat Mike Tyson. And Roy Jones beat John Ruiz for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Right.
John Ruiz just beat Evander Holyfield two times. So, you know, people might not have heard him, but he was a badass. Like he could fight. And Ruiz could really fight. And Roy beat him like easy. Roy played with him. Like he beat him easy. And I think the same thing could happen when he fights Mike Tyson. But the one thing with Mike, punches knocks walls down.
Yeah, still.
Yeah, he can punch holes in brick walls, and he still has that power. Believe me, I'm still fast. I can still bend out a speed bag and hit a heavy bag like no tomorrow. It's so crazy. But the one thing that never leaves you is your punch. It never, like when I fought Roberto Duran, I couldn't believe how hard he hit me. I was thinking, like, oh my God, this guy's like 40 years old, man, when he was 25. But punch never leaves you. And what always stays with you is when you get knocked out. When you get knocked out, it stays with you for life. You get hit again, you go down, you go out. You get hit a little bit, yeah, you get shaky. If you don't get hit, you can be a bad dude. Roy Jones is a bad dude right now.
That's interesting. Hit. Because did you see that?
He's a bad dude, but not getting hit.
It's interesting. Did you see the Gervonta Davis knockout this weekend or any a highlight? So do you think that Leo Santa Cruz bounces back from something like that?
No. There's no coming back for a devastating knockout like that. There's no coming back from it. You can try. You can fight again.
It's always here.
It's always going to be there. Yeah, it's always going to be. It's so crazy. And history don't lie. You know, you can go back in time and look at everybody after they got knocked out. After they got knocked out, they're the same. Almost, it's almost like a 99% rule. And I mean, that's a big call. That's a big number. But see, I think like Roy is so gifted. He's so talented. He's so fast. You know, he's got it all, Roy. Mm-hmm. Like, he beat John Ruiz like nothing. Like he wasn't even there. John Ruiz beat Evander Holyfield 2 times when Holyfield was in his prime. Hmm. So Roy can do this. I mean, they're going, what are they going? 7 rounds? 8 rounds?
Yeah,
I find it hard to believe that Mike Tyson, an animal, is not going to get that one time. He's not going to touch this one time. I find that hard to believe. So I'm thinking Jones, unless Mike Tyson knocks him out. That's a very odd prediction.
I'm picking Jones unless Mike knocks him out. I get it.
But that's also led.
Zeta's laughing right now.
That's also led a number of guys in that age bracket. I mean, Shannon Briggs, Evander Holyfield, a number of guys from that era, you know, they see this exhibition coming up, and now they're all clamoring. Everyone's back in the gym working out, man. So, I mean, is that smart? Even though it's an exhibition, they're going to have headgear, and they're going to do – do you think these guys who absorbed all this punishment over their lifetimes, should they do this for their long-term health? Should they get back in there, you know, trying to take each other's heads off?
All right, that's just making me think that – My girl, my PR girl, my right arm won't let me fight.
She's so smart.
She's a genius. She's a witch. She's a good witch. Yeah, she knows things that other people don't know or can't know. But she's a witch. She's a good witch. She's a good witch of the South.
There you go. So no chance of you coming back in.
Nah. I listened to her and yeah, I said, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't do it. Oh, She's always right. It's actually sickening. It's a bit sickening. She's always right.
Well, you have, of course, you're showing off the belts there. We'd love to see the belts. But you have a whole collection of memorabilia back there. I mean, is that an entire wall of pictures and stuff you've collected? It's all your stuff, or is it things from other eras?
This one, a great fan, and now who's become a great friend, a guy from North Carolina. He used to write me letters when I was in my prime, and he sent me this one thing at Christmas. I have it lit up. Every time I leave my house, I unplug it. It's my good luck symbol. It's just good luck for me. The aura around this thing. And I'm going to show you right now what it is. And it's really cool. For me, it's cool as can be. How about that?
Nice.
Yeah. He mailed that to me. Maybe. Around 20 years ago, it was after I retired. I leave it on every day, all day, all night, for weeks. And when I go away, I take the plug out every time. First thing I do when I walk in my house is put that back on. That, my good luck to me.
That is
super. That is very cool.
And his name is Barry Lindemann. You know, I love him. He's one of my buddies today. I love the guy. He's awesome.
That is nice. So where do you spend most of your time, Vinny? Are you spending your time on the East Coast, or are you situated in Vegas most of the time?
Well, I love Vegas. You know, it's just my style of work for me. And I'm there quite a bit. But my base here is my base is Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some things coming up, some really big things coming up. So I might be, I don't know. I'd like to keep my home and get a condo in Las Vegas. So maybe that'll happen. We've got some really big things coming up in Reno. Got some cool stuff.
Oh, man, you can come stay with me. It's all right. I got an extra couch.
Nice, I love it. Hey, what's that?
We're in Las Vegas.
You're in Las Vegas now?
Yeah, that's where we are.
Right. Oh my God. I will take a couch. I'll take a couch.
You got it.
You got it, man.
Just bring some stuffies with you. And yeah. I want some cahogs, and I want a coffee cabinet too. And a grinder. And a grinder too.
Of course, a grinder. Of course, not a grinder. A grinder.
Yeah. I was trying to tell my kids about the pizza strips the other day too. And I was like, man, what do you want cheese? Get a pizza strip.
I'm going to show you a picture of this guy that probably I hate him the most. And I would really like to, I'd like to hit him with a couple of shots and then just choke him.
Zena, you hear that? run interference.
Watch this. Tell me if you know who that is.
I can't quite see.
Can you see it?
Mm-mm.
Let me see. How about that?
Who is that?
Is that Magic?
I can't tell.
One more time. Who is it?
Greg Haugen. Yeah, nobody knows him. He's a shitbag. He's a shitbag. Nobody knows him.
Well, you fought him three times.
Leave that man alone.
Yes, I fought him three times.
And you still got beef?
Did you say I'm still grumpy?
No. I said you still got beef. Like you didn't feel like you settled.
Oh yeah, I got a beef. What do you think this? You think this shit just goes away? You like somebody's fighting me in front of millions of people. Millions of people are watching, and they're trying to put me down. They're gonna talk shit about me, making me look like a fool. How would I want to like anybody like that? This guy, I can't stand him. I think even Zena will let me fight this guy. Like, one more time. Let's try and put it together in Las Vegas somewhere. We'll call it.
We're going to keep you out of trouble, champ.
We'll call it the brawl for it all. How cool is that? In a cage, no referee. I'm stomping his little white ass. I'm gonna crush him.
We're talking with Vinny Paz. He is a former five-time champ, 50-10.
Yeah. And 30 knockouts. That means 30. Every other guy I got knocked out.
Yeah.
30 out of 60. So if you're fighting me, you gotta think like, oh my God. I'm fighting Vinny Paz. I have a 50% shot of getting knocked out.
Now, I mean, of course, you are one of boxing's legendary tough guys, not only for what you overcame outside of the ring to get back into it, but also because of that. I mean, 30 knockouts and 60 career fights and things like that. I mean, but, you know, putting your name up there with the other kind of those really legendary guys, Roberto Duran maybe Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward, these guys. Where would you rank yourself? I mean, do you think you're one of the toughest guys ever to box?
You know, I don't I like really like don't feel that way because it's me. It's my life. I just did what I wanted to do. I did what I felt, you know, to come out of me. It just, you know, it was just what I did. And but now when you look back and you chalk it all up and you put some stats, statistics down, I think I'm pretty deserving of getting in the Boxing Hall of Fame. But now I really, like, to be honest, I swear to God, I don't give a shit, like, if they induct me in there or not. I'm great friends with Dana White. You know, he's the bomb. You know, he runs his MMA stuff.
Right.
Maybe I would rather go in Dana's Hall of Fame than the Boxing Hall of Fame. It's like a little,
listen, he might bring you in.
It's a little stupid apartment in freaking wherever, out in Yonkers, New York. I don't even know where the hell it is. Canada, in New York.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. This year, this 2020 class is pretty stacked, and so you still got some time to get on that ballot and get in.
I'm not even going in.
We'll see.
I'm not even going in. I don't even want to be inducted in there. They do it with me. I don't want to go in. I appreciate my fans and stuff, but that Boxing Hall of Fame, something's up with it. See, there's a little something. Something's going on. Like I told you, everything is about the dollar. Mm-hmm. Something's going on.
Is boxing?
Yeah. Something's going on that's not right. You know, because I should have been in there by now. I retired in 2004 with my 50th win, and I wanted to get to 50 for a reason, because it was a monumental number. And I wanted to make that happen. And I watch and I see what guys that they put in there, and I would never put down no fighters. Everybody who gets in the ring, you know, is a bit of a badass in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of the guys that are in there, I mean, come on, you got to be kidding me, really. And the most important thing why somebody should be in the Hall of Fame is how many people did they turn on? Did they turn into boxing fans because of? I made people tune into boxing. I made people.
That's a fact.
I had the highest ratings on TV. I had the highest pay-per-views, the highest attendance numbers. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, all about getting people to watch boxing again. And right. I got people to watch boxing. Yeah. So, what's that dude's name? What's his name? The guy in the Boxing Hall of Fame. There's what's his name?
What weight class?
The guy that runs the whole thing. Larry. What's his dude? Zena's going right now. Shut up, Vinny.
Yeah, right. Zena's like, look, I'm still trying to get your ass in the Hall of Fame. So, you know Vinny?
His name is Ed Brophy. Come on. Ed Brophy. You know,
well,
if I had a buddy who would go up there and give him 10 grand, he'd put me in tomorrow.
We hope it's not that corrupted. Your career is, you know, the resume is exactly what it is. You have 50 wins, a 50% knockout percentage. You only had 10 losses, and you're right. You did put eyeballs on the sport of boxing. Who do you watch today?
That's a big thing.
Are there any fighters out there that you tune in for today?
Well, I mean, you know, Floyd Mayweather, I always liked watching him just to see. You wanted to see just to see if he would lose. Like, I was like unbelievably defensive. He had the greatest defense in maybe the history of the world, which is amazing. You know, he really, really did. His defense was incredible, which is why he won so many fights. And, you know, he was a great fighter. Great fighter. He did what I didn't do 10 times. I won 50 fights too, right. But I got the number 10 next to that. His number is zero. So
right.
He's a little badass, that kid.
He did some special things.
Sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Vinny, you know, we want to thank you so much for your time, man. We appreciate you. You know, I know you're a busy guy. You're running around all the time doing your thing, especially getting grinders and everything else on the East Coast. Well, I'm going to say goodbye, but I'm going to let the Sportsnista have the last question here before we let you go. And we want to say thank you once again to Zena for helping us set all this up, making sure your ass got on the line. Oh, you know what? I do have a final question before I let CC. Because you are one of the Hall of Fame shit talkers of all time, man. Who else in the ring kept it real, which and talked shit like while they were fighting? Who are some of the best ones?
Floyd.
Floyd?
No, someone that you fought.
Oh, somebody that I fought. I knocked out two guys that were talking a lot of shit. Rosenblatt and Dan Cherry, the one I won the world title. And I couldn't believe the way they were talking to me. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I wanted to hurt the both of them. And guess what? I did.
Oh, they forgot that number. They forgot that 30 KO. What?
Yeah, that's right. They were the 50%. They were the every other guy.
Got to do the math. So final question from me is, outside of the wins, what's the best thing that you got from the sport of boxing?
That's a great question. Great question. One that I would never ever say money to. You know, and I don't know if this might be it, but the one thing that I miss about boxing, because, you know, I did it my whole life, but I don't miss it. But the one thing I miss about boxing is the discipline that I had to have. You know, the discipline for those 2 months before a fight. You know, now it's, you know, I ball out, I go out, I drink all the time. I got peanut M&Ms everywhere. You know, it's not like it used to be, but you know, that goes with the story. But yeah, I think discipline is the most that I miss about boxing, the discipline of it.
Fair enough. Thank you for your time, Vinny. Hey, stay out of trouble.
I never get in trouble. What are you talking about?
I just feel like Vinny can go. Like at any time, I just feel like Vinny will go.
Just like that. Hey, you guys are awesome, man. Great show.
Man. Thanks again, Zena.
Thank you, Zena. Thank you, Vinny Paz. Man. We appreciate it. Keep it real, man. Keep them shades on all the time, bro. Love it, man. Talk to you soon, brother. Vinny Paz, man. Doing his thing. One and only, man. God, you talk about, yeah, I didn't want to interrupt him while he was talking and everything. You talk about one of those guys that made people fans in the boxing. Him, Arturo Gatti, Mickey Ward, all around that time when I was growing up and everything. Young fight fan, right here.
Tasmanian Devil, dude.
The Tasmanian Devil doing his thing. Look at John Moody, peanut M&Ms everywhere. Yeah.
Next time we see him, like, I'm gonna make sure, like, I'm gonna have some peanut M&Ms.
Vinny Paz, the one and only, man. So there you go. Always find it. Yes, thank you so much to Zena once again for helping us hook that up and do all that, because you know, you gotta understand, you know, a guy like Vinny Paz is like so many other, you know, great champions out there that are very personable with their fans. If you follow him on Twitter, I mean, the guy's, he's always tweeting, he's always doing his thing. But they have media requests all the time, mm-hmm. you know, from the lowest podcast to the biggest ESPN shows and everything. So for Zena and her team and for Vinny to make time for us, man, we really do appreciate that. And we really appreciate everyone tuning in and leaving comments. Sky Moore, John Moody, of course, our guy Ralph, you know, doing his thing and everything. It's Ralph's
happy birthday. Happy birthday.
That's why Ralph is here. He ain't trying to mess with us when he's getting his drink on. And he's actually in Vegas, I think.
Yeah, he is.
So, you know, we'll have to catch up with him and all that good stuff, man. So that's the show. How do you follow Vinny Paz? You don't follow Vinny Paz. So be sure you catch the replays on our Facebook. If you looking for a good podcast to tune into our podcast. We're everywhere. Apple, Google, Spotify, we're on all sorts of places and everything. Tune in. Yeah, the levels, you'll find us, share us with your friends. We appreciate everything, you guys, all the comments and all your love and everything. So until next week, we're going to have another fun guest lined up for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see you next time, guys.